All right, let's go to Revelation 4:11. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this evening for that privilege to pray and to praise and the fellowship around the written word. Thank you, Father, because we receive the light in the written word this evening in Jesus' name. Revelation 4:11. Praise the Lord. The book of Revelation. Not Revelations. Revelation. Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Notice he said all things. That means things in the earth. The Bible says the earth is the Lord, Psalm 24 verse 1, and the fullness thereof. You know, the world and all that are area. So whatever is in the earth belongs to the Lord, came from God. The Bible says in John's Gospel chapter 1, verse 2, same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So, I must begin to consider, you know, basically, that things, that is things, natural things, alright, things generally, must be used for his glory. Now I want to touch an area this evening, and I think you should pay good attention. And I tell people this, you know, I remember one time we were talking about parenting, and I said this to some friends who were having a chat, and I said, really, if you're a parent, you are no more than a steward. Nobody comes to the earth with kids. Am I right? If you came to the earth with kids, what do we call you? You didn't come with kids. So that means you were given kids. Correct? Correct? You were given kids. That means if you were given kids, that means you're a steward of those kids. You're a caretaker. Sometimes we like to control the lives of our children. Rather than being, Bible says, train up a child the way he should go, Proverbs 22:6, when he's old, he won't depart from it. And that word, train up a child the way he should go, in the Hebrew, is the way of the mouth. In other words, training referred to there is by instruction. The way of the mouth. And that's the Hebrew of that Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child the way he should go. That's the way of the mouth. And where he is whole, he won't depart from it. He's referring to words. And so, basically, you know, you are a caretaker of the children that you have. And you find parents try to dictate to their kids. And my kids know I'm a pastor. But I don't make them pray. I don't make them read the Bible. I don't do that. It's not necessary. They know I read the Bible. They know I pray. They know I study. And so they have the opportunity. They see it and they do it. Don't try to impose. You know, some of us grew up with our parents forcing us to pray. I knew the Lord's Prayer. But I think it wasn't a slap, I think it was just a knock. And I said, well, if this is what the Lord is about, I don't like it. You know, and you grew up that way. Sometimes you would choose the careers of their kids. You find some of us, even after you got saved, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and you know the word, and you don't know how to turn away from your parents' manipulation. It's not rebellion. Is walking in God's purpose for your life. I tell people, no, you can choose for me. I'm going to be responsible for my life. Imagine my dad told me when I was young, he said, I should never be born again. He said, don't join those folks who are born again. He said, they're hypocrites. He brainwashed me. But thank God he didn't go into my spirit, my mind. He just touched my brain, sorry. So I said, okay, fine. He said, there are two ways you need to Or if you do two things, so you never miss it in life, you make heaven. He said, number one, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, number two, don't steal and don't lie. He said, you will never go to hell. And I believed him. But he said, don't join SUs. Don't join them. Because I had a cousin who was not a good SU. It was quite a bad one. It was much of an SUV, you know. So, I got saved, and I found out he was wrong. And we had tussles daily as my ears, myself, my faith, because he felt he couldn't control me anymore. And I said, you can't control me. I have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I had a lot to leave. So, most of parents, you know, you try to be, you control your children. So you will be a doctor. I remember a man, he called 7 of his children. He said, you be eye doctor. You be ear doctor. And he was saying that you half doctor. And he sent all of them to medical school. Those of them who didn't do well, he made sure they did well. By the power of money. He said, so when I have eye problem, you will treat me. When I have ear problem, you will treat me. What a life. You know, so you're a steward. Alright? Whatever you came, you met in the earth, you're a steward of it. You know, you're also a steward of time. Are you listening? So you're a steward. And you must act like one. Let me show you something. Look at Matthew 25. Remember that parable of the talents? Remember? You don't forget, in every parable, you take the lessons, alright? Don't get literal. Alright? So he has talents, parable of the talents. He gave 5 to one, 2 to another, 1 to another. And he gave according to ability. Now he came back, notice, to ask what they had done with the talents. Now, why did he have to ask them what they had done with the talent? Because he gave them. Now, I can't imagine someone, you know, maybe your neighbor, he comes to your house and he says, Mr. Friday, say, yes, sir. Or how are you doing? He says, how did you spend your salary last month? You look at him and say, are you crazy? Tell me, how much remains in your salary? He say, did you drink something beyond your ability? Because he can't question you. Why? Because he didn't give you the salary. He's not the one who gave you the money. But if he gives you the money, he'll question you. I tell folks who live under their parents and they are, and then they say, the man wants to tell me what to do with my money. I say, it's not your money. It's his money. Praise the Lord. He gave you. He says, you spend it this way. You spend it that way. It's his money. Give account. So whatever is not yours that was given to you, yeah, what are you going to give account of it? Huh? So you're a steward of what you are given. So I'm still there? Yes, alright, listen. So whatever you're given, you are a steward. I'm a steward. Now notice this. Look at 1 Timothy 6. You get the point in a moment. How many of you have ever been in a maternity ward before? I have been. Not my kids. I met my kids born. My wife's a terrible woman, very strong. First time I had Craig, she had Craig. Because I was at camp meeting, and I was on the phone. Many guys did not know that I was under pressure, because that was my first experience. Never been there, right? So I had my first experience, and then I gave the session to someone to take. Me. And I was answering the phone. And my mother took the phone. She said, son is here. So I'm happy. I preached an extra sermon that night. I went to Lagos. I came back for camp meeting and I saw the young man. Welcome, you know. So the second time, Michelle, I was not near where they were. But I was on the phone. My wife, she's now Balak. She said, I'm going in now. Call me like so and so period. How I've been done. She's an expert. So I said, I'll call you later. Bye. Have a great time. She did. And I didn't see Michelle until she was about 3 weeks or so. And she's fully grown. All right. So, but I was privileged to see some other children. Amen. They're not mine. And my mom is a nurse. wasn't us stealing us. She said that wicked. I think nurses are wicked. Because they did stuff on my butts. So I looked at all of them like devils in white. Alright, so she delivered a child right in my presence. She said, give me blades. I gave it to her. She said, hold it, my mom. I'm not 10. She said, hold it. It mustn't fall down. I said, yes. That's my mom. Now, that young man now is about to get married. Imagine, I tell him, I carried you first. I carried you first in your whole life. But one thing I noticed about all the kids, two of them actually, one was neighbor, one was a cousin, one was a neighbor. One thing I noticed was that none of them came with wristwatches or shoes. None of them came with the language. Amen. I didn't see any perfume. Imagine a baby comes out and smelling nice. Wow. In other words, I think I understand what Paul is saying. It's not a mystery. Paul says something here that, you know, it's not necessary. You don't need to have a deep revelation in what he said. He said in 7, 1 Timothy 6 and 7, for we brought nothing into this world. Do you agree with Paul? You agree with him? So there's nothing. Now, if it is certain that we can carry nothing out of this world. So I say nothing. What's the Greek word for nothing? Nothing. That's nothing. Greek word for nothing is nothing. It's just nothing. Nothing. So he says, you came with nothing. You're going with nothing. One fool told his church, when you bury me, he had hundreds of thousands of naira. He said, they put it in the coffin. And then the kids were just as dumb as their dad. So they put the money in the coffin. And then they told the undertaker said, what are they doing? He said, well, where daddy said we should bury him with his money. And I said, daddy had the right kind of kids. Dummies. What's daddy going to do about that? Is he here? And then they said, we'll obey his last wishes. We'll obey his last wishes. So they put all the money there. The undertaker was so happy. Oh, the man must really be a great man. The wise, a very kind man. You know, he understands that all the takers are poor. So, I thought you didn't get that. Praise God. Nothing. That's the word. Nothing. So that means everything you were given, you will give account of it. That's what it means. So you came with nothing, and you're going with nothing. Not true. You gave me nothing. You're going with nothing. So, that means when I came into this world, what was given to me? I had lives committed to me. Family, friends, neighbors. True. Kids. Church members. Even those I don't like. And I had things. Luke 16. There was one guy right there, you know, he built, I entered one man's house in 2004 or 2005, remember? And I got to the man's house, and he had this living room, was built with pure gold. I mean, gold. I sat on gold, and I was not in heaven. Pure gold. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. And then a colleague of mine, a partner of mine, 2005, he says that the last time he came, the man just touched the walls and all eyes. So, you know, this fellow in Luke 16, he had houses, he had a yacht. You ever seen a yacht before? A yacht moved from one highland to the other. It's cool, calm, and calculated. Okay, now you go, you wonder, guy's living large. Guys in the Bible. So he has one poor guy outside his house. Say, what are you doing near my door? He says to the security folks, hey, what's this place? Say, he's just begging. Oh, I give him some from dogs. Please, this is for dignitaries, right? This is Rich Street. Big boy. He flies first class or PJ. PJ's private jet, not pajamas, okay? So he flies first class or PJ. You know, something happened, much later. whether you are 200 or 150, there's a much later. Everything hangs. That's why people write will. That means whatever you have, you're not going to spend it forever. So you write a will. So you transfer. Who's going to write the last will? I don't know. So he gets to heaven. No. He's in hell. So his watch is in there. Doesn't even know the time. He has no phone to dial out. He has no iPod. He can't even browse to find out. He can't Google what's happening in the earth. Same with Lazarus. In other words, he went back the way he came. Such is life. So, that means everything he had, he was a steward of it. Nothing was his altogether. You're a steward of everything you came with and everything you were given. You're a steward of it. Are you still there? Okay. So, we must understand that when it comes to things. In Luke's Gospel chapter 12, there's the story of the rich fool. Why is he a rich fool? Not because he's rich. Now, if being rich was why he was foolish, Jesus couldn't have said rich fool. Rich fool simply means two things. I see it two ways anyway. I see it more like a rich foolishness. You know what I mean? And we have rich food. Rich fool. That food is so rich. And that fool is so rich. Same thing. Alright. So he's a rich fool. He invests very well. He's into stocks. He buys up stuff. He's boasting to folks in the church. He said, I understood the recession before it came. I bought this. I bought this. I bought that. I bought this. I bought this. I bought that. And I said, wow. Guy said, I don't spend my money on frivolities. I bought this, when people were trying to buy, I bought land, in Morocco years ago before I became lucky. Now look at where I am now. I have 16 hectares. See, the guy has so much. He's invested in March. He's invested here. He bought lands and houses in the UK. He has 6 ranches in Texas. He has, you know, he has a flying boat. He has a flying jet. He has flying human beings. All over. He's just rich. Investments all over. He has shares in Citibank. He has shares in China Construction Bank. He has shares in Stanley. Oh, that's the same. Okay, same one. He has shares in HSBC. He has shares in, and he said, he said, so he said, see what we have done. He said, now, how just fly around the world. Around the world. And enjoy myself. I said, hey, buddy. Yeah. You know, you're a fool. I said, So out tonight, you're leaving. Can I pay my way through? Nope. Tonight you're leaving. So, who will use up all this stuff? You didn't think. Whether you like it or not, you're going to be a giver. What about, whether cheerful giving? Or non-cheerful giving, you're going to be a giver someday. So he has, because he doesn't belong to you. He said, you're a fool. He said, you are not rich towards God. That was the reason he was called a fool. He wasn't rich towards God. So in other words, we need to see ourselves as stewards. He's a good investor, but he's a foolish man. We need to see ourselves as stewards of what God's given to us. Time is an asset. Human beings given to us. Sometimes we're stewards of relationships. Some of us don't value relationships. We don't value friends, pastors. Pastors don't value flock. You know, stuff like that. You're just thinking it's all about you. No, you are a steward. That's what you are. See, I'm a steward. See, I'm a steward. Amen. That's what you are. So a steward must give account. So I must ask myself, what have I done with what God has given me, the resources that I have? Sometimes we think like the guy had one talent. Well, if I had more, I'll have done more. Well, do something with what you have. You can never have enough. So what do you have? Do something with it. I tell people all the time, you will find people in your situation who have faithful. You find people, you say, well, I wish I was married. You find unmarried people serve the Lord. You find widows serving the Lord. He said, well, Lord, be faithful. He said, well, problem is because I'm married. That's why I'm having challenges. You have people who are married serving the Lord. Well, it's my job. I had a guy, a pilot. He flies around the world and he attends one or two crusades. He ministers in there every month. I have a guy. He's going to preach for us someday. Not too long from now. He's a colonel in the army. He fights wars around Nigeria and outside the country. He still does meetings all over Africa and Nigeria. So you always find somebody who is right in your shoes. He or she is faithful with what he or she has. That's the point. So you have to see yourself as a steward of what God has given. The Bible says it's required of stewards that they be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. Are you still there? See, I'm a steward one more time. So I must look at eternity. So eternity is when it counts. That's when it counts. See, one thing I have learned, and I need to tell you this, particularly if you're a preacher of the word, don't get carried away by human applause. It's deceitful. Don't ever get carried away by human applause. People usually celebrate what they like, not necessarily what is right. So you don't have to let people liking what you say, you know, be the litmus test whether you are right or you're wrong. Somebody in the house? Oh, good. So you're a steward of what God's given to you. Now quickly look at this. 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul says, I have kept the faith. So they kept the faith. Say it again, kept the faith. Now that word kept the faith is used for stewards. That is, have been faithful with the faith. I have kept the faith. Have been faithful with the faith. Now, the word faith is used several times in 1 Timothy 4:6. Knowledge of the words of faith and good doctrine. Used for doctrine, 1 Timothy 4:6. Again, 1 Timothy 4:12. Be thou an example of the believer in faith. Doctrine. That's the word there. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Doctrine. Jude 3, contend earnestly for the faith. Are you still there? So when it says, keep the faith. Okay, listen now. Then he says in 1 Timothy 6, now turn there. 1 Timothy 6, he says, some, for the love of money, he says they, in verse 10, they have erred from the faith. They are born again. Don't forget, they're not, you can't err from the faith as an unbeliever. There's no faith anywhere. You're an unbeliever. Those who err from the faith, just like those who have made a shipwreck of their faith in 1 Timothy 1 and 19, they are believers. Alright? Now, what do you mean make shipwreck of a faith? Now, Paul is warning about money-mindedness. And notice this, and notice quickly, if you're a preacher of the gospel, not just a preacher of the gospel, if you're a Christian, you need to know that money-mindedness corrupts the faith. It corrupts your doctrine. I'm going to get into that in a moment. It corrupts your doctrine. The minute money gets in your mind, it corrupts your doctrine. Anytime money is your motivation, you will never be able to do the will of God. Anytime money is your motivation. Jesus says in Matthew 6, you could turn from verse 24 down to 26. He says, you cannot serve two masters. That's clear. You cannot serve, you have to love one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And he says, take no thought for your life. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Let me come to the ministry and talk about that. You're a preacher, and the first thing in your mind are physical things. There are too many people like that today in ministry. They say, well, how shall we have buildings? How shall, you know, a guy is in the ministry just 2 years. He wants to have church building. He wants to be on television. He wants to do this. He wants to do that. He gets money minded. Because anytime money becomes your motivation, it will corrupt your teaching. It will always corrupt your teaching. It will corrupt what you're saying. Because money is a bad and terrible master. It will corrupt your beliefs. It will corrupt how you see things. Money is never a good motivation. Say again, money is a wrong motivation. Say again, money is a wrong motivation. Someone said a joke one time, not too funny. He said, don't marry for money, but go where the rich people are and they marry there. I think that makes sense. Alright, so, you see, money will always be if it's a motivation, you'll always get it wrong. And that's something I'm always careful for in ministry, money. That's why in our ministry, since coming to church, when we have a project, and the money does not appear, we don't try to do it. We just let it go. When the money comes, we do it. You'll find me say, well, we're in a realm of giving you've never seen before. When that happens, just begin to pray for me double. He's losing it finally. Finally, my brother. This guy's gone. Because, you know, you get motivated and then you want to achieve something. Remember Reverend George Adigbo, he told us years back, it was 20 years now. He said, anytime that ministries want to do a project, churches now, they come up with strange doctrines. Now, I didn't understand what he said then. He said, every time you see you start talking about, they just come up with strange teachings and they have a project. And I watched it over the years. I've seen minister upon minister upon minister. It just happened. So recently there was someone no close by, someone I know, that's what I mean. He begins to talk about a kind of giving. And I told folks around, I said, pastors, they're about to acquire something in their ministry. See, I know this. Reverend John told us years ago, I'm sure it's going to happen. And not long after that, it just happened like that. See? Meaning money becomes your motivation, the doctrine will be corrupted. Never make money your motivation. Never. A preacher of the word, Bible says, he must not be greedy or filthy lucre. 1 Timothy 3 and 2. You must be careful for money. Don't be afraid of money. That's not the word. I'm not afraid to spend money. But don't let money motivate you. Listen there. Money madness corrupts the doctrine. Money will always be a wrong motivation. Let's give you two examples. Look at Lot and Abraham. Genesis 13. Abraham takes Lot out to the land. He takes him, he's his nephew, takes him away. And they're together. Somehow, he helps Lot to start his own business. So Lot has his own shops, and he has his own stalls, and then he has his own farms, and he has his own staff. So somehow, there's strife, you know, between the workers, and then and Abraham said, well, we'll be brethren, lest there be no strife. You know, some guy said, no way! I brought him here! Rubbish! No way! And then he said, why are you saying no way? No way! Not because of anything, because the money involved. No way! I can't take it! Never! All my sweat! No! Accepting God is not my father. What's all that? Accepting Jehovah is not my God. I'm a child of God. Nobody can just treat me anyhow. And he is glad that Jesus suffered for him. And he said, nobody can, I can't suffer. No, and he's glad you suffered for him. But he said, never! So, because it's money. You know, so he says to Lord, say, we'll be able to say, you choose what you want. And Lord says, are you sure? Uncle Hadi? And she said, no worry, he said, sir? He says, sir, okay, sir. He quickly gets his iPad, goes in Google search, Google Maps, and says, oh, there's oil deposit in Sodom. He said, do you mind if I take Sodom? No, I'm not, you don't have to say yes. I said, it's okay. Are you sure, uncle? Bible says he looked at Sodom. Place was rich. Fuck. But Google wouldn't tell you that there will be destruction in Sodom a couple of years down. He didn't know. So money motivated him. And he went to Sodom because of greed. It's always a wrong motivation. 2 Kings 5, there's another guy there. His name is Gehazi. Never seen anybody named his child Gehazi. I don't know why. I've heard Judas or Jews. I've heard Thomas. I've heard Jabez. I've heard Pharaoh before. But nobody likes Gehazi. Hey, Gehazi! He said, huh? I don't think the name is an evil name. The guy just acquired a dream above all names for himself. I think Gehazi is an evil name. I think he just, you know, he was highly exalted. He got a name above his own name. You know, at the end of the day, you didn't get that, did you? So he is walking with the great man of God, Elisha. Naaman comes. Naaman is wealthy. He owns four oil companies, even though he is a soldier. So he comes and he says, I'm leprous. And then man of God says, I don't want to see you. That's a great guy. So what in the world does he know who I am? His ADC is already angry. Should we raise down this whole place? Hey, no, calm down, calm down. I'm still leprous. Alright. Alright, so he says, hey, tell him it's me. Say he knows. Go and wash in Jordan. What? What about Intercontinental Hotel? So you go wash there. You've been washing there since last year. Still leprous. I don't go to Jordan. That's why you're lepers. You go to Jordan now. Man of God didn't want to see him. And you know, he didn't just say, I do want to see you, and send his account number. I don't want to see you, but you're giving. Yeah, this is my account number. This is our account number. I'll give you a prophet. You know, there's some charlatans on television like that. They say, you see the account number rolling on the screen right now. Do it now. Now, now. There's one, that guy's an expert. He should take the place of all the crooks in the world in one person. He says, I know you're there right now. Say, there are two figures on your mind, two figures. The Spirit of God is saying, it's the larger one. I say, you know the guy, you know. Don't mention his name. I mean, he's a crook, man. And I say, I believe that those who give and those who... The law says the receiver of the bribe and then the giver, they are all guilty. So if you're giving bribes like that to men of God, you are both guilty of the same offense. Alright? You know. Amen. So he says, I don't want your money. He goes to Jordan. He's angry, wants to go back, leprous. And a young girl, she says, hey, what is investing in Jordan? You've been leprous since you were born. You have all this money, gone to all the doctors in the UK, in the US. They don't want to treat you anymore because you're still leprous. Just go wash. Alright? You got dipped 7 times. That's quite a test. It was once was enough to just get over it. 7 times. Go 1, still leprous. 2, still leprous. 3, still leprous. It's nonsense. You have started by 4. You know, this kind of still leprous. Say, get more leprous. 5, still leprous. Say, do you think I can do this? I'm angry. No, rich guy, Bible says the rich man answers roughly. I think what is nonsense? Oh, what is nonsense? So, now this one small boy, get into the river. He says, so I'll be begging this guy, this guy. He's not leprous. He goes 6 times. She goes, okay, one more time. What's the difference? And he goes 7 times. He comes out. He's clean. He said, wow. He looks like a fool. So he's going back. He's at the airport, so quiet. Going to his business cabin. Then he looks back and he sees the son of the prophet. And the guy says, hey, my master was just testing you. He knows the right language. He was just testing you. So he asked him to come bring the guy. You know, he's a military man. He said, well, if I don't give his boss, let me give the fool. So he said, I don't give you everything. They just take the money. He said, no. But he told Gehazi, he said, no problem. Half loaf is better than no loaf. So it's better than nylon. So he goes with him. And he is a son of a prophet. He loses his ministry. Gehazi heard Elijah say, my heart went with you. This is not the time to collect money. So, he goes leprous, and that's the end. Because he's motivated by money. Brother Higgins said, many people lose their ministries because of a love for money. I believe that. Many people. For instance, if you have the gifts of healings and workings of miracles, the minute you allow money to set it, something happens. It just makes, it dwindles the effect of the gifts of healings and workings of miracles. So you stay off money. Be careful for money. So I say, be careful for money. Say, be careful for money. So you stay extra careful for the love of money. Make sure. Amen. Christ. Look at Jesus' example. Mark 10. Jesus is his wrong, rich young ruler. Everybody is coming with his entourage. Mark 10. And says, Master, you know, he said, all the things that are in the law I've done from my youth, kept all the law. You know, if it were today, some preachers would have said, who's that guy? It's a rich, young, you know, upwardly mobile. No. It's upwardly mobile. He's already there. He says, what does he do? He says, he owns 6 telecom companies. Jesus will go, Mambra Sakalababa. Sakatarababa. Hey! What else? Says, that yacht. Banana Island. He holds the hey! Holy Ghost fire. Say, how are you, sir? Jesus is saying that now. Sir, how are you, sir? Sir, bless you, sir. No. We are the same. Bless you. He has some other women waiting for cancer. Say, come tomorrow, please. I'm tired. I'll pay tomorrow. Okay, Peter, I'll tell to them. He just says, the guy inside say, so how are you? How is the ministry? He says, I'm not in the ministry. Oh, you're not in the ministry. Jesus spoke to him publicly. We knew what he told him. He says, tell all you have. Give to the poor and follow me. The guy says, huh? Say, yeah. And he said to him, that's why it's hard for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus never elevated wealth, neither did he elevate poverty. Notice that. Never elevate wealth, nor poverty. That was an example. In Acts 8, remember Peter and that Simon the sorcerer? He goes to Peter and says, I mean, he's aware Peter didn't come first class. Peter probably came with the synagogue to come over to Samaria. He saw him get down. So he says, he knows he doesn't have a car. So he says, and he knows he has the Holy Ghost. He's flowing with the Holy Ghost. Moving power. And he says, give me this power. That whosoever I lay my hands on will receive the Holy Ghost. So desire is the proof of land. Help me. You know, there's a collision of that. Desire is the proof of what? Is it pursuit? You can't forget. Come on. You know, desire is the proof of what? Of purpose. Or something. See, desire is the proof of purpose. For to desire, there's no desire God has not planted in us. Amen. Says, and you know, there's something about seed. A seed will meet any need. The earth will first go to heaven before heaven comes to the earth. This guy has seen something nobody has seen. I'm just laying hands, you're just speaking in tongues. Is that the kingdom? See, kingdom principle. Peter answered in such a way, you know, if you hear some preachers today, I say, ha! Say, hey, I almost perished when I saw the money. Say, your money perished with you. Said your money perished with you. That means he said, you already said, you're already perishing. The seeker sensitive church movement say, you don't say, don't tell sinners that they are sinners. Why? They already know they are sinners. I'm just double mention, law of double mention. Just confirming what you know. Alright. He says, your money perished with you. You think that the gift of God can be bought with money? But some guys are hawking it all over the place. Talking a little bit. I say, Lord is saying that one guy can say, so Lord said to Israel, you become 1,000 times bigger. I just sense in my spirit right now. And keep what is going on. Thank you. Hold on, don't worry, let him do that. Sense in my spirit right now. Said there are 1,000 people, not more than 1,000, who will give $1,000. For these 1,000 blessings. Then they bring the 1,000. Then they bring the 1,000 for 1,000 blessings. You know, the funny thing about people is nobody finds out whether he actually had 1,000 blessings. said, 1,000 people come. They say, your money perished with him. He wasn't motivated with money. That's why his epistle was written, became scripture. In Philippians 3, Paul talks about those whose God is their belly. What a description. That is, the word belly there means appetite. Philippians 3:19. Whose God is their belly. Whose God is their belly. That is, they worship their appetite. And the people like that, when they want something, whatever they want, they can give their lives for it. Whether it's money, whether it's sex, whether it's pleasures of life, they give anything for it. Just anything. You know, just like the phones are out now. iPhone 6, iPhone 5. Someone sees a BlackBerry with someone in his class, a university undergraduate. His eyes begins to sparkle like a traffic light. Tum, 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 tum. Red, right, red, green, red, amber, red, green. Say, I must have this thing at all costs to get to church. I desire. I speak it. I speak it. It's not in faith. I speak it. Oh! Now! Now! You know iPhones. So, his pursuit is so strong, he can't even think. He has to get the phone. He has to get the car. Some guys will do just anything to travel out of the country. Anything. See your friends on Facebook? Eh? Eh? He's here? He's London. He said, Gmo, America. He just saw it on his phone as he comes to church. So he said, how are you? How was your week? Fine. His head is, his belly is his God. That's all. He said, anything they want. I saw a sister. Maybe I mentioned last week. You're in the university. I said, why are you wearing this kind of stuff? I said, the Bible says that he is the Lord. I said, maybe I'm a king's kid. I said, no, you're a prelim student of Aristo. About to register. You're in the university, undergraduate. I don't know how much you guys spend now, but then, if you have shoes of 10,000, riches of 5,000, who's going to marry you? The guy must have looted the treasury of the country before he proposes to you. Because your taste is not just high, your taste is rocket high. You drive, your lecturer is on a bike, you're on an SUV. So are you going for the same lecture? The guy says, yeah, hey, come inside, I'll drop you. Your taste is rapidly high. Money is a bad master. It will drive you crazy. Hope you're there. You still there? One thing you must also observe, James 2 talks about Christians who distinguish folks. They make friends based on class. You have to be wealthy before you're my friend. So just look at you. There's some Christians that been born again now. Word people. They look at you, just look at you. They look at you quickly. They can give you the ratings of everything you wore. Say, good morning. Brother, good morning. Good morning. How are you? What do you really want? I just want to come and fellowship with you. We're not in the same cell. Say, all right. Just look at it. When you see the guy, he comes to the service. You see the kind of jacket he's on, wristwatch, Rolex. There's a bracelet, looking cool. And then, all designer outfits. Say, how are you? Even the usher can greet you first. You're welcome to service. The other guy will just say, please sit there. Even the usher does that. Sometimes we pick people based on, the kind of money there, where they live, kind of cars they drive. Seems not to be. Why we do that is because money is our motivation. Money. So, money is a wrong master. Is that okay? Very good servant. He works very perfectly. You know. Don't forget this. When you allow money to come into your heart, you can't keep the faith. Are you keeping the faith? You can't keep the faith with the love of money. The love of money prevents you from keeping the faith. The love of money will always prevent you from keeping the faith. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord watches the city, alright? It says, keeps the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. Now, the word vain, we found out, 1 Corinthians 15:19, 1 Corinthians 15:57, it means things that are of this life, things that do not go beyond this life. Very simple things, your salary, money, kind of cars you drive, kind of houses you live in, where you stay, kind of jets you own. The Bible says the labor is not in those vain things. It's not in those vain things. You know, there's some young people like that. Why they follow after some preachers? It's not because the preachers preach the truth, not because they preach the word, because those preachers have money. And I've seen people defy their consciences because of this. They know this preacher, they say, well, yeah, I know he's not really preaching the word, but he has results. So the guy said, well, he's not the only one that has results. There are thousands and millions of people that have more results and they are not Christians. So you cannot lay claim on the faith for his results. Ah, you know this, but he has results. He has results. He has, so see, you cannot argue with results. I can argue with results. I can argue against results, but I'm not one of those guys who bow and prostrate for results. No way, no way, no way, Jack, no way. See, he has results. He has this one. He's whatever he does is working for him. That's true. I have guys in my hometown who have things working for them. Want to know my hometown is? Be careful. All right. So, you don't look at results, you look at the word. The evidence of the truth is not results, the evidence of the truth is truth. So, in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, we're all going to stand before Jesus. The day will test whatever we have done. If what you have done is godly, it will last. If it's not, it will not last. And I said this to you, don't forget, no matter how young you are, old you are, always have eternity in view. Eternity comes closer than you think. Always have eternity in view. There's coming a day you are going to stand before Jesus and he's going to look at all the works of your hands. He's not going to look at the cars you drive, not going to look at the houses you live in, kind of phones you use, not going to look at how many jets you flew in. He's not going to look at how many countries you traveled to. He's going to look at the works of your hands, the things that were committed to your trust, and what did you do with this? Only the houses even. Alright, so 2 Timothy chapter 2 talks about us being vessels from 19 to 21. Vessels unto honor. Vessels unto honor. Vessels that honor God. So our lives must be purpose by design. We must understand that there is God's purpose and plan for our lives. Let me get back to what I said earlier. You must never make money your motivation. Know how to walk away from monetary benefits. Know how to walk away from it. Makes no difference. Know how to walk away from it. That's the plain truth. I've had business deals fall in line in time of our meetings, and I had to say, well, I just have to face the meetings. So I said, well, I had this millionaire, my friend, it's almost a billionaire. I told me that his estates was worth them. Said he valued his estates like June. His estates were between 19 and 26 billion naira. He said just estates, said not cash and not other things he had. So he said to me, he said, well, we need a meeting so and so person. He says Wednesday, 6 o'clock. I said, I can never make it. He said, oh, try. He said, try. I said, try. Just one day. I said, I won't be there. But I need money. A lot of money. But I don't want money without purpose. And there are people like, ah, you just, you know, and I tell folks sometimes, you know, some guys would take a leave to stay up church, and they wonder years later why the Lord is not using them to do anything. Well, you don't treasure God's work. You know, because if you were the one preaching this evening or preaching on the Sunday morning, you wouldn't go for a wedding ceremony. Am I correct? You wouldn't go to see somebody on the island if you were the one taking today's service. But you don't see yourself that useful, relevant, and important. So you think, well, I'm not necessary, so I can do anything at that period. So you wonder why down the line you're not doing anything in the kingdom of God. You've already sold your future by not taking things in honor. So you need to have the right heart toward the things of God. And then don't put money first. Don't put money first. Don't take jobs, careers, business contracts that will take you totally out of the kingdom of God, His work. Don't do that. You tell them, well, I'm a Christian. I'm sure you know what I mean. I'm a Christian. Say, oh, well, I'm a Christian. No, no. My Christian is a Christian, all right? I can't do anything on a Sunday morning. But if you're a doctor, that's well understandable, because that's an essential service. If you're, you know, people that do essential services, they're fine. Maybe security people. But, you know, it's just about extra money. Extra money. Work extra day, get extra money. No. No. The love of money is the root of all evil. Alright? So you keep your motivation in check. If you're on the university campus, you don't understand what I'm talking about. So just be nodding, preparing for the future. You'll say, hey, yeah, Pastor Peter, you don't know what I'm saying yet at all. You just receive honorariums from home, so you don't get what I'm talking about in any way. All right? Until you leave school, then you'll see real devils. Before now, the devils you saw were types and shadows. When you see devils in their reality, all right, for the demons of the university are a shadow of bad things to come. When you graduate, you find there are demons hired and failing exams. Failing exams, that's no big deal. You know, having a carryover is no big deal. By the time you come out of university in 5-10 years, you see those who were first class, second class, third class, no class, zero class, they're all in the job market. So there were some guys with no class are managing directors and millionaires. So that's no devil. And the devil in types and shadows. You see real devils. Amen. You're praying in tongues, walking around Lagos Island, no job. Your CV has been updated per week. And you say, well, you confess the word. What's that confessing you? You say, wow, Jesus is Lord. And then man, you see what love money is. No way. I don't take money from my uncle. not close by, right? I'm not taking off tonight. Alright, so you give money where it's supposed to be. Never put money on your heart, make sure it's in your pocket. Let's go. Alright, and it's a very difficult stuff. We all need money. Is that not true? Who doesn't need money here? Let me have yours. I don't need money. Just give it to me, please. Just give it to me. So I don't like money. And it's all in your pocket. You don't even keep money anymore in your house. It's in the account. Because what? You know there'll be police. Everybody's keeping it for you. And you say, I don't like money. You like money. Can you give me all your savings? No, pastor, you say, preachers don't do that. All right, they say. So, in following purpose, we have 9 things you need to see. Number one, place. Your location is very vital. How many of you agree that where you are says a lot about what you're going to turn out? Let me see here. Where you are, you need to be careful of the location you put yourself in. Don't just travel, change location, not even just outside the country, just about anywhere without knowing or checking your spirit to see whether, well, I just have a free flow in my heart to go in this direction. Make sure that you do. Sometimes you want to change a house and you go to the area, and right there, as you step into the street, it is a nice street, it has all the security apparatus, it has all the stuff in there, well laid out, good outlay, you have stuff, you just, in your heart, just go, something wrong, right? Don't say, nothing wrong, I bind your devil. This is Canaan. Lord is here. You check your heart. You check where you're going to. Sure, the Lord wants you to go to that place. 2, possession. Possession has to do with gifts. The kind of gift that God's given you. 1 Timothy 4:14. It says, neglect not the gift that is in you. 2 Timothy 1:7. Sell the gift. Number 3, last week we looked at pasture. You must keep growing as a Christian. You see, spiritual growth. Now, anytime you want to take a decision, listen now. You must look at spiritual growth. Am I going to grow with this? 2 Timothy 3:15. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise and sound your faith in Christ Jesus. 16. All scriptures given by the Spirit of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, so righteousness that the matter of God. 17. May be truly furnished power in every good work. Amen. So you can see a man of God, he said the scriptures are given to him so that he can be perfect. That word is mature. He can be mature. Grow up. So they grow up. So I must consider spiritual growth. You know. And Paul says about spiritual growth, 2 Timothy 3:14. Says continue in the things. Continue. Spiritual growth is about continuing what I know. 2 Timothy 2:1. Be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ, my son Timothy. Be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. Be strong. Ephesians 4 says when you're growing, you don't jump from pillar to post. Get some apostles, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers for the sake of the work of ministry. Bring the body of Christ to all, comes you to the faith, out of the food of your Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of sacrifice in Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, as like cunning craftiness of men whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So one of the ways you know you're growing is that you're stable. Stability is a proof of growth. You're stable. If you have to change churches like you change underwear, there's something wrong with you. You're stable. Change friends, change this one, change that one. You see some guys, you know, in this one season, they're listening to one teaching, anointing. And that's it, prosperity. Another one, holiness. Another one, faith. Another, something's wrong with you. Stay in one place. If anyone is teaching faith correctly, he will teach holiness with it. He will teach the flow of the Holy Ghost with it. You see, the point is this, the Word of God is the same. The Word of God is not broken down into subjects. The Word of God is a person. Still there? You're listening now. So, you need to be, when you observe that you are not stable, it's because something is missing somewhere. You're not stable. Your mind is not stable. Your life is not stable. You check that. Praise the Lord. Now, today I want to look at something, the fourth one, and that's the word partnership. What is it? What do I call it? Partnership. Now, I'm going to just talk about something before I go into partnership. We'll just run through that. Now, we've examined Paul's vision. Let's look at it again. Acts 22. Paul's vision. Acts 22 and 23. You learning something? Acts 22. Verse 10. And I said, that's Paul, Saul now. Acts 22, 10. What shall I do, Lord? We said, walking in God's plan starts with asking the right questions. What shall I do? That means you listen to instruction. You wait for direction. What shall I do? I heard someone from Fred Price, Dr. Fred Price, years back. Got me thinking. He said, God doesn't bless your plans. God blesses his own plans. So if you find his plan, you're already blessed. I'll say that again. God doesn't bless your plans. He blesses his own plans. When you find his plans and you walk in it, you're already blessed. I'll say it again. God doesn't bless your plans. He blesses his own plans. And when you find out his own plans and you're walking in it, you're already blessed. Is that clear? I'll take it again. God doesn't bless your own plans. He blesses his own plans. And when you find out his plan and walk in it, you are already blessed. Let me take it again. God doesn't bless your own plans. He blesses his own plans. And when you find out his plan and walk in it, you're already blessed. Let me take it for the last time. God doesn't bless your plans. He blesses his own plans. And when you find out his plans and you walk in it, you're already blessed. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Don't lose what I just told you. Alright? So, he says, what must I do? He said, now, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of the things which are appointed for thee to do. Many of us don't like things to be told to us. You say, well, I know what to do. No, no. At times you're told what to do. You know, and God doesn't send an angel to him, sends a man, Ananias, to him. Tell him what to do. He starts with a man. And many of us are not faithful with human visions. We want to see supernatural visions. You can't even listen to your zonal coordinator. You can't even take instructions from your pastor. And you want Jesus to appear to you and say, come up either. Let us go together. You're joking. You must learn to submit yourself to someone God placed over your life, for instance. The people God has placed in your life. And there are things God, you will never know that God wants you to know, that He puts in the lives of people He wants you to be in relationship with. And until you submit to those relationships, honor those relationships, you won't find out those things. Amen. I'll give that in a moment. So, you see, you told what to do. Acts 23. So, Acts 22 again. Sorry. 21. Depart, for I will send you far unto the Gentiles. Quickly go to Acts 26. 27. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you. I said to you the first thing. Now, number one, don't forget this. Purpose is never about you. What did I say? Purpose. God's purpose for your life is never about you. It's about others. The way the kingdom of God is, the churches, the body of Christ is, your own fulfillment is someone's happiness, someone's edification. You don't get fulfilled until someone is edified. You don't grow until someone grows. Are you listening? That's how purpose is. So, but listen, the first thing that happens is God will send you to people. God has sent you to people. The first thing is He will deliver you from those people. In other words, you will not be a worshiper of the people you're sent to. So the first thing, He delivers you from the people. You will be subservient to them. You will be pleasing them. Alright? But notice that your purpose is all about people. So whatever country you find yourself, whether you went for postgraduate or by marriage, you have to travel, or you have to just relocate business or career, ask yourself, UK, US, Zambia, you know, Tanzania, Australia, wherever you find yourself, say, Lord, who are the people you're sending me to? Very important question. Lord, for which reason am I here? There's a man who brought us up, you know, we're younger in the faith. He's a great man. I honor him, respect him. He's someone I always say is the only preacher in the whole world who can call me on the phone and say, hey, I want to see you in the next 45 minutes. And I can rapture and go to see him. Every time I hold the phone and he's talking, you know, one day he's talking and I'm greeting him and I'm doing like this, thank you, sir. And I was the only person like that because he knew me when he knew me. So he's on like that. Now, one time, he went to take a postgraduate course in the university, master's degree. I'll never forget the story. And he goes there and we're wondering, why did you go? He said, Lord sent me to take that degree because of one person. He said, Lord didn't tell me who the person is. He just said, I'm sending to social and social school because of one person, and you need to witness to that person. The person needs to be born again because I'm going to use the person. So he goes to that school, stays for one whole year, master's degree. Didn't get the guy until a few days to the end of the program. And the guy gets born again, and he is fulfilled, and he leaves the school. And he doesn't go back to collect the certificate. Say, why? He said, no. He said, there's no dichotomy in purpose. I didn't go there for a certificate. I went there for purpose. I was stupefied. He never went back to pick the degree. Though he passed. He didn't fail. He didn't go back. He didn't have it. He said, I went there for one person. And since I met purpose, I don't want dichotomy. Wow. Some people are serving God. Hallelujah. Isn't that true? Some folks are really serving God. Amen. And look at that. So, who are the people you're sent to? Where are you? In Lagos? Kodaka? Abuja? Who are these people you're sent to? Why are you there? Your gifts, who is it for? You can't have gifts for yourself. The endowments of God are for people. The word of God you're hearing, what's it for? It's for folks. It's for people to grow as well. So you ask yourself, why am I in the UK? Why am I in Nigeria? Why am I in Lagos? Why am I in Lorient right now? I'm in University of Lagos. Why am I there? Why am I in Ife? If you don't understand purpose, you begin to mix with funny friends. And very funny friends. Well, you know, things begin to... And you know, most of us, somebody went to the boarding house. If you go to the boarding house, or maybe you live with your friends, when you enter the university, there's something about freedom that comes upon your soul. Free! You know, in the secondary school, if you're in the boarding house, you have to go to school. Well, in my school, you have to go to school. Because you wear a uniform. You check your uniform. And then, in fact, I think you're punished when, after breakfast or something, you go back to pick your books. If you're wise enough, you go with your books to the dining hall. Or else you go back to the room, and then they say, bang, 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 there's some seniors there who go to school. They are senior boys. They say, hold on, don't go there. Now, they're punishing you for not going to school early by you not going to school at all. Those guys had something in their brains screwed up. And they will punish you throughout the day. They say, you are going late to school, and the punishment is you won't go to school at all. How does that sound? You know, so by the time you get to the university, nobody will come to your hostel. Why are you not going for lectures? That's why they print results. You get it? Nothing called promotion on trial. Or warning. You know, if there's some regular schools, good schools, they rusticate you quickly. Because they have many people coming inside. So they say, you go. Or it's coming through your place. So you're free. Before you know, you're meeting new friends. How are you? How are you? Where? Which one you come from? Say, I'm from KC. Oh, KC, that's cool. Oh, so I came from St. George's College in Texas. Oh, what were you doing? Yeah, because you know you came from downtown Lagos. Oh, yeah. And then you're losing purpose. Wrong friends. Losing purpose. Why are you there? Why are you there? Before you start to take pictures on Facebook and then go after snowman, why are you there? Why are you in the UK? Why are you in the US? Why are you in Port Harcourt? Why are you in Lagos? Why are you in Abuja? Why are you there? Who were you sent to? You're sent to people. Amen? You must always ask who. Also, quickly to pastors now, if you're going to organize a meeting, I always ask people a question. Why are you holding this meeting? You know, the Bible has different kinds of meetings. There are prayer meetings. There are teaching meetings. There are evangelistic meetings. There are healing services. And there are believers meetings. I take it again, prayer meetings, teaching meetings, evangelistic meetings, healing services, believers meetings. You ask yourself, so every time you want to organize, what meeting are we about to have? What meeting are we about to have? It's good to stick to purpose. What meeting are we about to have? The Sunday service, what's it about? Now, in Saints Community Church, our Sunday service is simply Bible study, prayer. Then we minister to the needs of people. So that's why there is no, that we don't have side attractions in our services. We stick to the purpose. No side attractions, nothing else. We don't, a pastor came to preach for us years back, 2 years ago. And he says, how much time do I have to preach? He said, when do I have to preach? He said, just after the worship session, you come to yourself. Immediately? I said, yeah. He said, how long do I have to preach? I said, normally in our service, we do 90 minutes, 2 hours. He said, huh? Every Sunday? He said, it's been a while I preach like that. I said, that's how I said, sir. I said, after that, what do you do? I said, then, you know, we just praise God, take the offerings, and we go home. Huh? He said, well, services are defined. Because we have a purpose why we hold Sunday services. A Sunday service are Bible study meetings. So I said, Wednesdays. Right. So you must stick to the purpose and not try to please the people. 2 Timothy 4:1-3 says, preach the word, verse 2, be instant in out of season. He said, rebuke, you know, teach, exhort with all long suffering and patience. For the time will come when men will no longer endure sound doctrine, but will heap up teachers after their own lust. So you have to be careful not to give to people what they want. So I said, well, if you want people to keep coming to meetings, you do Bible, you just do, bring a comedian to the service, you know, bring Satan to the service, and, what did I say? Bring musicians to the service. I said, no. I want Christians to come to the service, so I bring Jesus to the service. Hallelujah. You know, someone said this, and it blessed my heart. He said, sir, I want to ask you a question. He's asking me. So what is it? I said, until a man believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, he is not a Christian. I said, yes. So I want to ask again. Until a man believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, he is not a Christian. I said, yes. Just wanted to know. And I'm wondering, why did he ask? He said, it appears that today, just join the church, like the music, then you're a Christian. Well, that was something to think about. Is it not true? Many people are liking the music, but they don't believe in the gospel. You see? So you need to tell yourself exactly what kind of ministry you want to run. The prayer meeting. Some people say, what kind of prayer meeting is that? What's a prayer meeting? A prayer meeting is a prayer meeting. You start and stop praying. Are you there? Evangelistic meeting. You don't go there and then you want to use the money from the crusade to buy a plane by much offering taking. You're still there. So define yourselves, the kind of meetings you want to hold. If you're a pastor, whatever meetings you want to hold, ask yourself, what is this conference for? Camp meeting, what is it for? We say believers convention, what is it for? World changes come, what's it for? Define and stick to that purpose. Amen. Alright. So the fourth principle is that of partnership. Two things that are critical in purpose. The friends you keep and your spouse, husband or wife. The friends you keep and your spouse. Listen now, look up. Look up, Chris. You can't marry anybody to fulfill God's purpose. I'm not talking about marriage seminar. You know, some folks are just in the marriage seminars and the seminars are already turning people, turning marriages to cemeteries already. Oh, 26, something, something. No. Let me tell people you can't marry. If you will fulfill God's purpose and plan for your life, you cannot marry some folks. Number one person you cannot marry, male and female, and not just you cannot marry, cannot be your friend, is a licentious Christian. A Christian that has no control over his appetite. Has no regard for Christian ethics, no regard for Christian example. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul says, I hear that there is named among you, alright, such that is not even mentioned, named among the godless. And he talks about this brother who has his father's wife. Now the issue about that guy is that he doesn't care. It's not that he sinned, it's that he doesn't care. The Bible says there was no shame even amongst the church, you know, concerning that kind of conduct. You can't have, and Paul says, you cast out that kind of wicked person. He said, you don't even eat with him. Now, someone you don't eat with, according to apostolic instruction, shouldn't be your friend. Am I making sense? Neither can he be your husband, or can she be your wife. And I know folks like that. I'm wondering, why is this the kind of person? This is the same person that has been rebuked by the church authorities, have been rebuked by, it's just about anything, pastor has rebuked him, you know, and he's been rebuked. And then that's your friend. No, you can't do that. Licentious person. Are you still there? 2 Thessalonians 3, read from verse 10 to 14. That fellow said, anyone who does not obey our instruction, there's some folks like that. You cannot be in fellowship, in partnership, in a relationship with someone that flouts instructions. I always say this. If he will not obey God, he won't obey you. If she won't obey God, she won't obey you. You cannot. You are successful in God's purpose for your life as the kind of person you married or the kind of friends you keep. Is all still there? You check the kind of partnerships you have. And Paul says, that kind of person, don't even eat with him. And, you know, that kind of person includes someone who is lazy. He that does not walk shouldn't eat. Someone who is very, very lazy, very laid back. He is 34. He still complained that his father died when he was 6. But when should he have died? That would make sense. See people, he's 35, he says, why did he die? Well, you need to join in. Because you're crazy. Why did he die? He's fine, no, just, why did he die? So I just do. I've called all my uncles who know people in Shell. has nailed, and Chevron. None of them has answered my call. And he sees vacancy. Class teacher. 20,000. Me? Never. I'm the head and never the tail. Don't worry. Tail is too far. He's lazy. Very lazy. Brother, years back, I helped him, you know, pass his exams, the WAEC then. So I didn't see him after some years. He came, I was a pastor in about 9 days, he came. And I saw him and I said, well, brother, you have an outstanding paper. You need to go pass that exam. So he went and write the exam. And, you know, he was doing some other things like that. So he did the exams and, you know, the exams were supposed to be just the same, except this one P was just, made it discolored the whole stuff. So everything was just on the same. Just one P discolored that old paper, you know. It had just been 9-9. Yeah, like 9-11. But somehow I got to talk to someone in UI, who was going to get him into physical education. UI is a topmost school. Physical education in UI is like, medicine in some schools. I make no apologies to say that. Sorry if you hurt. So I did all that. I paid his fees. All of a sudden, he doesn't go. And I said, why didn't you go? He said, my vision. I borrowed money to pay the Nitwit school fees. And he's telling me my vision. He said, my vision is to be an entrepreneur. I'm thinking, give me back my quid. He doesn't have my quid. He has vision. He walks away. It's how many years now? I think it's 15 years now. He still has no degree. He's still going about with his vision. He came to me a couple of months ago, say, if I can just have help from you. 15 years after, I've moved on. I'm 15 years older. You don't get that, you know. I can't remain stupid. Even those who don't see so and say, you watch the ground. They can be correct sometimes. A lazy guy. Guy said, I love you, where do you work? Well, for now, I'm doing nothing. Helping my father run around, get fuel in the car. Say, well, stay with your dad, marry him, okay? You got something to do. Anyone who cannot work, alright, can never treat you well. Can never understand your purpose. Laziness has nothing to do with what you are not doing. Laziness is a culture. If someone is lazy with an earthly duty, he'll be lazy with supernatural responsibilities. You stay away from that kind of person. You still there? 1 Timothy 6, verse 5, 6, and 7 says, if there's sacrifice, but find anyone who is a lover of money. He says, you stay away from him. Someone who thinks gain is godliness. So withdraw yourself. You don't marry a money-minded person. What did I say? Don't be a friend with a money-minded person. Everything on his mind, 1 Timothy 6, 5 to 8. Anyone whose mind is filled with money, cash, 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 cash. I want a lady. She got in relationship with a brother like that. The minister of the gospel. Great guy. But I said it in 1996. I said, this guy can die for anything that's called money. And everybody said, well, this is you're being critical. I'm not being critical, I'm being frank. This guy loves money. He loves money. He likes money. You do anything for money. And they got married and she saw it. She saw it. They're divorced now. And she said, well, I remember you said it in those days. So why didn't you take it? He said, well, I thought you were just being hack here. You know, they call you hack bishop. I said, well, that was my name then, hack bishop. Now, I'm a Christian now. I'm a Christian. I was very terrible in those days. I look at those things and I say, oh my, shameful, shameful, shameful. I could talk to anybody. And I still can do it today, but now with the fruit of the Spirit, alright? Okay. Don't be a lover of money. Don't be a friend with a lover of money. If anything stays around you long enough, it's going to get into you. Don't ask him. Wonderful women, listen now, wonderful godly women who marry the wrong man and then they change overnight into animals. I've seen wonderful men, listen now, who also were godly, loved the Lord, they married the wrong women and they changed into beasts overnight. Anything you move close to you will affect you. You cannot fulfill purpose with the wrong friendship. Someone in the house. A lover of money cannot afford to be your friend. Romans 16:17. Paul says, if you find any other person who teaches anything or says something contrary to the doctrine that we have given to you, he says you withdraw yourself from that. Mark that person and withdraw yourself. Don't be a friend with an heretic. Are you still there? A rebellious person, an heretic. I had a lady like that. She got into a relationship with a brother. A brother happened to be someone in those days, someone I brought up with the Lord. But I knew this fellow also had this, you know, strange attitudes. And I warned her, you know the story, and to warn her about the brother. And she says, oh, she's repentant. She says, oh, you know. And she said, but the Lord told me that he's a bishop. And then stuff like that. And I didn't suggest, well, You stay off the guy for some time. She writes me a letter. I'm coming back to Lagos. She writes me a letter. She give it to him that she's separated. But brother talks, you know, he taught me some things in life. He says, you don't be a Uriah or you pass on the glory. So I said, brother talks, says, don't be a Uriah. Alright, so I take a letter. I open it. I'm from GCI. I can open the letter. Close back. You know, I open it. I look at it and I saw he mentioned me. She mentioned me in the letter. She says, don't mind him. He wants to destroy your ministry. Stay away from him. He says so and so, and I shut her. So when I gave her the letter, I didn't wait for her to read it. For him to read it. I just gave her, bye bye. See you later sometime. And I went away. And then eventually go on the relationship, blah 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 blah. Called her last week, last year. I was in the US then and spoke with her. She's in her fourth marriage. She was getting out of her fourth marriage. Alright. Yeah, I want to serve the Lord. Can you help me? After 19 years, and then last year was 18 years, I said, I'll be praying for you. Do you know I'm on Facebook? She said, you know Facebook? I've been looking for you. And then my friend links was full. I didn't lie, I said I'm on Facebook. That's what I said. You know. Amen. Stay away. Praise God. Don't let love. I love you, or I loves you. Either way. 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, don't be deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Don't forget, evil communication doesn't corrupt neutral manners, it corrupts good manners. That means you're prayerful, you stop being prayerful, right? You love the word, you stop loving the word. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Of course, we don't have to talk about unbelievers. That's a no-no, alright? No. Say, well, I believe when I marry me, you will change. No, you will change. You will be transformed. Unbeliever, no. I say it often. I can never. Now, I'm not those who say, I'm a man of God. We have a different life. I don't say the stuff like that. But, truth is, I've said this for years. I can never, ever be tempted by a woman who is not born again. It can't cross my mind. Because my mentality, she's a child of the devil. I'm saying tempted. I can't even think about it. Because an unbeliever is a no-no. But tonight, you know, today it's so funny. We have unbelievers who believe. They believe. Say, what? This is a church now. Hey, he's not a Christian. Told you one time, they had a choir practice. And this guy was head of the choir. And they had workers meeting. And he says, guys, can let me just say something. I just want to share. This has been on my mind for a long ago. So what is it? Do you all believe in all this? Jesus is coming. He's really coming. They thought I was joking. But I said, do you really believe that Jesus rose from the dead? They would say, what's all this? And then his girlfriend says, let me say what's on my mind. He's not a believer. Better than say it now so you won't get married. Told the story to a lady. She's married to this fellow. The guy joined our church, faithful, joined the ushering department, joined the protocol. Very faithful, brother. And then she goes to marry the brother or the fellow. Wedding night, she slept off because if you got married before, you sleep on wedding night. You're tired. I dance my life out. You dance because I needed money, so I had to dance. And I dance and I give me money. My wife said, "Why are you dancing?" I said, "We are not paid for this one. I beg, let me dance." So I was dancing like a fool. And one night, she's sleeping. She wakes up. She sees someone like this. And I'm not joking. She said, "Straight out there." He came to our church and pretend like a Christian to deceive and get married. Simple. So he's an unbeliever who believes. A kind of Christian is a no-no. Okay, so you look at your friends. Look at Paul's friends. You like Paul's friends? Check them. Romans 16. Nice friends. See, servants of the church. Priscilla, help us in Christ. Epaphroditus, first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Mary, bestowed much labor on us. Romans 16:6. Adonicus and Junior, kingsmen, fellow prisoners. Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. 9, Hubain, my helper in Christ. Stachys, my beloved. 10, Hephaelus, approved in Christ. Household of Aristobulus. 11, salute Herodoin, my kingsman. Greet them of the house of Machias, which are in the Lord. 12, salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. 14, salute Asyncritus, Plegion, Amas, Patrobas, Amias, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Pilologos and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Look at Paul's friends. Purposeful. People who help in his purpose. Can I have professional friends? Paul must have had professional friends. It was a tent maker. But professional friends must never be your close friends. Must never make that stupid mistake. Make folks in your office, make folks in your business world, the business world. You let them get into your inner caucus. Are you silly? You must have a spiritual gauge for those who will come close to you. We can be professional friends. We talk about law. We talk about legal matters. We talk about financial matters. We talk about medicine because we're both doctors. Pharmacy, we're both pharmacists. We talk about teaching because we're teachers. That's where it stops. You don't get close. My close friends must be associated with my purpose in life. Are you still there? So your friendship is very vital. Of course, you can't be friends with a carnal Christian. Not someone who doesn't want to grow in the Lord. Then I can't be your friend. Are you still there? 1 Corinthians 7, quickly. 1 Corinthians 7, Paul talks about, this is it, 1 Corinthians 7, 39 and 40. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she's at liberty to be married to whom she will, alright, only in the Lord. To whom she will, only in the Lord. I'll explain that to you in a moment. To whom she will, only in the Lord. Now notice something. Notice something. In 40, he says, but she is happier if she so abide. Now, Paul's epistles and his doctrine seems to lend more. Now, Paul talked about two things. He talked about those who are married and those who are unmarried. Paul never calls the unmarried unfulfilled. Unlike what the nonsense we hear from pulpits today. In fact, he calls the unmarried more fulfilled than the married. Now, Paul seems to say that, look, it's a choice to marry and not to marry, okay? Neither, is out of God's will. However, if anyone will stay unmarried, it must not be for career purposes or ambition purposes. It's not because you think you're better than any other man around. It's not because all the men. Some say, well, all men are monkeys, I said, including your daddy. Not kind of stupid things like that. But if folks will abide, it's to be serving the Lord. Is to focus on ministry. It's not for any other reason. It's not for career. It's not so that they can make more money. No. It's for ministry. The reason why Paul will teach, you know, the proper gifts of not marrying is for ministry purposes, not for ambition, not for career, not for business. So Paul always rated singleness higher. He always lends credence to singleness. Now, don't get scared. I'm not single, all right? So don't get, oh, I missed it. I don't know, I missed it. Amen. Some guys are so happy, to my left, to my right. Amen. It is marry in the Lord. What does it mean, marry in the Lord? Marry in the Lord means according to the scripture. You can marry someone who doesn't want to mature. You can marry someone who doesn't want to be spiritually minded. So I'm going to say this as I close. Alright, so you can't marry or have friends. And let me say this. You don't marry outside your friendship. Okay? So the kind of friends you keep eventually becomes the kind of person you marry most of the time. So if you can keep, you need to keep the right friendships around you, because your friendships determine how much you fulfill God's plan for your life. You need to keep the right kind of friends, healthy friends. Keep friends who have healthy doctrine. Keep friends who have an healthy attitude towards service. Keep friends who have an healthy attitude to holy living. Don't keep friends so who doesn't care how she or he lives, how she dresses, how he dresses, doesn't care what she watches or what he watches. You get the guy, girls, the guy's iPod or the guy's, you have find all sorts of strange movies, X-rated movies. That's not the kind of person you'd be a friend. No way. I told a fellow one time, he said, how come we don't gist anymore? I said, because we don't do the same things anymore. We don't study the same things anymore. I spend hours of my day thinking on scripture. Many times I'm studying. And then someone told me, said, you're so busy. You're a businessman. And then how do you find time to post the word so easy like that? I said, that shows you the word is primary in my mind. That's why it's like that. It's primary in my mind. I can sit down right now. I could write stuff. Not Ali, my fam. Amen. And someone told me, he said, well, when we pray, can we make it a stage play? I said, well, we'll sell it for $1 million. Praise the Lord. Anyway, the point is this, is what's primary on my mind. So you see, you need to keep the right kind of friends. Every Saturday, your friends always in Silverville Cinema. Very soon, you'll be a bird too. Watch movies all the time. Do you go for evangelism? I don't do stuff like that. Oh, prayer meetings. I don't believe in prayer meetings. We pray in our house, so I don't believe in prayer meetings. Well, we do service well. Once in a while, when I don't have much to do, I just show. Where do I want to leave? Branching. Which department are you in church? Department. Some department I think I'm in. I think it's welfare or something. Oh, intergovernmental. Something. I try to, and that's someone you talk to every day. You're wondering why the fire in your life has become charcoal. It's not difficult. Amen. Praise the Lord. The partnership is important. So my partnership is important. So if I want to stay hot, I stay around those who are on fire. Is that clear? Let's pray. James 1:5. That was the last scripture I wanted to quote. Never forget. James 1:5. Because how do I handle marital issues right now? James 1:5. Is any lack, with any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Amen. You can ask of God. Praise the Lord. That's wisdom. The kind of friendships you can. The kind of how to have a spouse. How to choose a spouse. Praise the Lord. That's wisdom. Amen. Let's pray.